You have your fear, which might become reality. And you have Godzilla, which is reality.
I'm sick of Godzilla.
Wake up, everyone!
There are two things you don't know about the Earth.
Understand it.
Whether he returns or not, or is never again seen by human eyes, the things he has taught us remain.
Welcome back to YHS on Monster Island. This is the episode that I think everybody's been waiting for. It's the episode that we kind of knew. It was the only episode we knew was going to happen when we started this show, that at some point.
Maybe with the exception of Godzilla versus Kong. We had Godzilla versus Kong in this.
Well, true.
We were going to last two episodes was the over and under on how long this podcast would last.
We just thought that was going to be it. I'm here with my co-host, Jakey. Jay, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. And like I said, the over and under, we're only supposed to last two episodes. But you know what? We're here. We're here. 11 episodes in.
We did
and
it.
Why? Because it's on the strength of one of the greatest hosts in the history of podcasting. And he is, of course, the show-stopping and shit-talking Shaman of Shiva, the renegade of the Red Dust. He is Podcaster Ultima and the one true singular point. Because if you look across the kaiju landscape, there's nobody as wise. So listeners, let's get ready to orthogonally diagonalize with Mr. Jacob Walsh.
Yes. I wish I had a pair of sunglasses on for that one. That one seemed like right at the end I needed to take my... Jay, thank you. Thank you as always for that. That was amazing.
Hey, no worries.
Dude, so we'll get right into it. I think, first of all, we should talk about this G-Fest news.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess it's happening.
It's happening, and I'm pumped because last year, I guess 2020, not last year, yeah. 2020, or this year, I should say, I was going to go to my first G-Fest, and I think you were as well, and we were talking about that, and the hotel booked, and the tickets bought, and of course, pandemic happened, and then this year it was canceled, and so I'm excited to finally go, and I'm, it's been something that I don't even want to say it's been on my bucket list because I've had the opportunities. Hell, I lived in Chicago for 5 years, and it just never was something. I don't want to say I didn't want to go, but we always talked about, we've always been on the fringe of the kaiju community and kind of in our own little world, in our own little bubble.
But fuck that. We're in there now.
We're going, dude. We're going to YHS on Monster Island is going to be YHS at G-Fest.
YHS at G-Fest. Yeah. I'm excited about it, but I'm also really stressed out about it because July? It's in July.
That's correct. Yeah.
It's also the same month that Comic-Con happens, and YHS Prime is going to Comic-Con. Like, we got press passes for the next 2 years of Comic-Con. I want to say Dragon-Con. And I've never been to Comic-Con. And, like, I got to go to that. So,
of course.
There's no dates for that. There's not even an assurance that that's going to happen in person. But it's always that month. So I'm, kind of having to wait and see what the dates are and hope that it's, a couple weeks apart from each other so it doesn't mess me up too much. Because I'll go to both.
Yeah.
I hope you do. I just got to make sure they're not on the same way. It would be stupid for, I don't know. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but I'm excited. I've always wanted to go to G-Fest. Honestly, the thing that I was stressed out about immediately was how do I get all my stuff back? Do I literally bring an empty suitcase to Chicago? I guess.
Yeah.
I've never done anything like that before. So,
well, the good news is if you can't ship it all back, if you have by so much, I do have, my mother-in-law lives in Chicago. I have hundreds of friends in Chicago, so we can warehouse there for free, and then we can ship it back piecemeal. So we're good. We got, if any city that got you covered in, it's Chicago. So we're cool. Yeah. And hey, our hotel is booked. So assuming Comic-Con doesn't happen the same weekend.
Right.
We're going to be there.
We're going.
And so listeners and fans, come hang out with us, party with us, and let's talk how much awesome or terrible singular point is. You'll have to wait and find out.
Maybe if we both go. I don't know exactly how it works. We've never been to G-Fest. I don't know exactly how the programming is, how the panels are, but I just we're probably going to just take it over and probably do a panel or two or something. Right?
I mean, they might rename it. I mean, they might just rename it Why Just a Monster Island Fest. No, I think it'll be, you know, one thing we should do. And for all of our listeners that have connections in the kaiju community to all the other great podcasters and stuff, hey, we probably should stop being these like black sheep of the family that are over here just doing our own thing. We should probably extend an olive branch, reach out and try to make contact with these wonderful people.
We should, yeah.
Because
there's a lot of people out like, why don't we know these people? What are we doing? They're probably wondering what the fuck we're trying to do over here.
Yeah, you know, we've probably bought and sold toys with them and just haven't realized it, you know?
So, I'm sure we have, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited to finally meet them and just see what it's all about. I mean, I know you're a con aficionado and I've been to a handful in my day. And so it'll be cool just to see what it's all about, compare it to what we've seen in other cons. And I don't know, I'm already pumped and I got a year to wait.
Yeah, same. Dude, speaking of buying toys, do you know how many times I have almost bought something on eBay but then realized it was just you selling it?
Well, now you should know by the background. If it has that orange background, it's me.
Right.
And don't buy it on
eBay.
I'll
be looking and I was like, oh, but then I'm like, hold on, I'll scroll down and it's Tokyo Toys.
Yes, and it's marked up on there because of those damn seller fees. And we'll see, for all of our listeners, if you want a little secret, not only are my prices really good at tokutoytown.com, if you use the promo code YHS10, you get 10% off any item in the store. No minimums, anything. So anybody out there, that code is for good for no expiration date, just whatever. If you listen to this show, use YHS10 and you get 10% off anything and everything at tokutoytown.com.
There's also legit some good stuff on there. And there's been multiple times where I'll just go to your website and scroll through and I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, God, I want this. I want this little, I'm like, what is this file? Sometimes I'll get on there and I'm like, well, Jay didn't tell me he had this file on tape for sale.
Oh man. I just, not to get off on a tangent, but I sold one of my favorite pieces today. I actually don't own this. And it was one of those that I bought and I was like, maybe I just keep this one. You know, they were selling lots of stuff, but it was the big Giga Brain giant golden King Ghidorah, the Showa era one. It's big. It's a 14, 15 inch wingspan. I had it still in bag and everything, but a guy just bought it today. So I think put that one to the post office and, you know, wished him a fair voyage to his new home. But it's, there's some cool stuff. I got a nice mix of like, you know, your designer vinyl, your Sofubi, but also a lot of like your Bandai, Godzilla collections, movie monster series. And I try to have a good mix. And then I have some Tokusatsu stuff as well. Some Ultraman, some Super Sentai, some Kamen Rider. I just a mix. I'm not focused on one thing. I just try to get some cool stuff out there and hopefully can give it to folks at a rate that's not eBay prices or some of these other sites that are out there. So I just try to be competitive.
Yeah, right on, dude. It looks like it's going well.
Yeah.
I mean, that brings us to... What did you buy? What did you buy this week or these 2 weeks?
I had a good week. I only bought two things, but there are two pieces that I really, really, really like and two that I've been eyeing for a long time. One's a solid purchase and one is like in my upper tier of Godzilla things that I own. So I'm like, and not like cost wise, but just like, it's a piece I've always wanted. It's weird and wacky and it's awesome. So, but the one that I got that it's like, it's a solid piece is everybody knows I love Titanosaurus, and I had to get another colorway. So I got this beautiful green variant, green colorway of Titanosaurus M1. And I have the red and blue one for those watching up in the back. And that's a Marisan Titanosaurus in the middle. But I do love me some Titanosaurus and all these colorways. So I did pick up this guy and I got him at a really good steal. And because I've seen him go for $100 more than what I paid for him. So I'm
awesome. That's a good looking figure.
Yeah, it's solid. It's about 9 inches tall. The one I got though. So, and we could do a whole episode on this. It's not a movie because it never happened. But for those that love Godzilla, know in 1957, after Godzilla Raids Again, or released here as Gigantus the Fire Monster, or Gojira no Yakushu, they were going to reuse the suits in an American movie called Volcano Monsters. And they were going to be just dinosaurs and Ankylosaurus. And they were going to trim down Godzilla a little bit and make him look a little bit different and be just kind of an unnamed Tyrannosaurus, right? Because, you know, in the late 50s in America, they didn't know, right?
Right.
So Marmot in 2002 as a, I don't know if it was Wonderfest or Toy Fest or Super Fest or one of those, they released an exclusive of the Volcano Monster Godzilla suit, Sifubi. And here he is in all of his glory. It's the, as you can tell, it's a very similar to the 1955 Godzilla suit, but in a brown hue. And they even have it stamped copyright 1957, I think is awesome. So this is one of my, I've been eyeing this piece for a long time. I think it's so cool. It's a weird, quirky part of Godzilla history.
Yeah.
And the fact that they made, you know, a Sifubi out of it, I think is just so great. And it's a beautiful looking figure. I really do like it.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything that in Sifubi that's this color. Usually I get wacky, you know, golds and neons. And so it's this kind of like brownie earthy color.
I like it a lot.
I dig it. So those are my two pickups this week. And I like I said, small pickups, but mighty. And how about you?
Right. Yeah, dude, I got a couple things that, I mean, and you know, I got to just shout you out again because you helped me pick these up. So, a collection that I've been trying to put together slowly, just a little bit here and there. It's a little hard to get, but I did get this little Lit Goji. Is Lit Goji how you pronounce it? It's such a weird word. I think so.
It's just like short for little Godzilla.
Little Godzilla. The little cartoony Godzilla. I know he's supposed to come with an egg. Didn't have the egg, it was a good price. But to go with him, I also got the bank version.
Nice.
So little Godzilla. And I got a couple of these other ones already. So yeah. I got a nice little, I posted it on Instagram. I got a nice little cute Godzilla collection going. I love the way these look.
Yeah,
there's just really something cool about these. Like growing up, always seeing, you know, any of the Godzilla books you look into, like the Illustrated Encyclopedia of Godzilla or even like G-Fan, you see a lot of photos of the old merchandise and there's always just like cute Godzillas all over the place. And I want all that. So pick those up from Toku Toy Town. Thank you, Jay.
No worries.
And within that package, Jay sent me a gift. You already know, clearly you already know about this, but this beautiful,
how'd you get that?
This beautiful 1991 Megalon is now mine. And I'm kind of ashamed I didn't already own this.
No, shame needed. It's a good figure. I mean, I think it's one of those. I love the original Godzilla collection from Bandai. I mean, it has emotional connection, and that was one of the first ones I ever owned. Was the Megalon, and I think it's just so. I think it's a cool figure, and I love the Bullmark sculpt of Megalon, the old one that they've redone a million times. But that sculpt, I don't know. There's something about that Bandai one that I really do. I do dig, and it's a cool figure.
Yeah, I love it. And it looks good sitting next to the X Plus. And and it just makes me want to continue with a Megalon collection. You know,
there's a lot of Megalon out there.
There are, yeah. So we'll see, man. But I appreciate your help with those.
Hey, no worries.
That's all my pickups.
I love them.
Yeah. Jay, you watch any movies this week?
You know, we spent a lot of time watching Singular Point because it wasn't short. I did after the first viewing, I did sneak in two movies. And just like I felt two really good pickups on the toy side, I think I watched two really damn good movies.
Okay.
Very different. The first one was one that, I mean, I'd known about it, but you were the one in an early episode that really pushed me to buy it. And that was Howl from Beyond the Fog. And holy cow, that is like 30 minutes of like tear jerking, amazing, like rip your heart out, Bunraku theater there. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah. We won't have to talk about it for those who haven't seen it. Go out, buy the Blu-ray, buy the DVD, watch it. It's amazing. But like, just like the main kind of villain guy, in 30 minutes and as a puppet with, you know, very limited movement and basically no facial movement, you hate him more than I've hated a character as much as that in a while. And like, and that's what they're supposed to do. Holy cow. And when the blind girl talks about her past and like her mom and what she did to her, like, I mean, I'm just sitting there like, this is like just so emotional. It is a great kaiju film, a great piece of short cinema. I absolutely loved it. A+, 10 out of 10, highly recommend it. One of my favorite kaiju related things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, dude. I think it's 100% worth the buy without seeing it. Just order it and watch it. Like, they're on their second printing right now. I guess you can pick it up. And it's such a hauntingly, you know, beautiful film. Yeah. Everything about it, the effects look so good, and the creature looks amazing.
Amazing. 100%. Yeah. And like I said, they got so much emotion, it wasn't the limitations of it being the puppet style production. It was, they only had 30 minutes, and they still were they were still able to make just like, I don't know. It was highly, highly recommend. It just made it. It's a tearjerker, but it's also like visually stunning. And I believe hauntingly beautiful is overused, but this is what it's supposed to mean. Is this
film. Exactly? Yeah, exactly.
It is. It's gorgeous. I loved it. And I really dug it a lot, man.
Good. Good. I'm glad you picked it up, man.
Yeah. And then the other one I watched was totally opposite in the spectrum. We talked about it on our great cinema swap. We talked about how Yamato Takeru was a remake of Birth of Japan from the late 50s or the Three Treasures. And I found the Japanese version 3 hours and 2 minutes. It is a old school sprawling epic. It is beautifully filmed. It reminds me of like this. If it was filmed in America at the same time, Charlton Heston would be in this thing. I mean, it's one of those. It is a Ten Commandments-y, you know, like Ben-Hur, like just like this sprawling, beautiful epic. It's gorgeous. And it has just an A-plus cast of all the Toho, what would become the Toho Godzilla legends. Mm-hmm. But also, they pulled in a few of the folks that Kurosawa was using at the same time from Seven Samurai and everything. And it is... it's a great film. Visually, I think it's better than maybe from a narrative standpoint. I do think the ending is a little interesting, but it is very, very, very different than Yamada Takeru. There are no were-wizards that shoot lasers out of their eyes. There are no Megazord King Ghidorah fights on the moon. There is, which we didn't even mention in our last episode. They were on the moon. But anyway... it's way more of your kind of sword and sandal epic Spartacus type thing, but it's really good. It actually flows pretty nicely, and it is funny to see these characters in that after we've watched them in Yamato Takeru. I really did like it a lot, but I love those old kind of classic Hollywood type films, and so it fit in that kind of subgenre. Mm-hmm. But I see why it's still so beloved in Japan. I see why it was a huge hit for Toho and just Japanese film at the time. Totally get that. I heard the American version is trimmed down by an hour. Like they cut it down almost 2/3. So I don't even want to watch that because usually with a 3-hour film, you think there's a lot of fat on it. I didn't feel like there was a lot of fat on it. I felt like it would be pretty good. And there is an Orochi in it. And so you do get a little bit of monster in there, about 5 minutes out of the 3 hours. So don't watch it for the kaiju, but it was good. And I'm glad I watched it to have that counterpoint to one of my favorite films of all time.
Yeah, you need it. Yeah.
Yamato Takeru.
That's cool. Yeah, I want to check that out.
So if you average the films together, they were a normal film. If you average my short and my 3 hours, that's how I viewed it.
That's true. Yeah, for sure. I didn't watch anything, man. I haven't had time. I've been so busy with
your other shows.
Seven shows. me and Craig were talking. I don't know if this was during a Patreon episode or what, but we were talking about Lost and how we both want to rewatch Lost. And I was like, hey, should we do another show since we're thinking about rewatching Lost to do episode? You know, I was like joking because I don't think I could handle another show, but no, dude, you know, so Singular Point came out and I watched the entire thing the day it came out. And then I've been kind of slowly rewatching it. Listen, future seeing kaiju, Godzilla bones, a baby jet jaguar.
Yes.
We watched Singular Point. So we're going to talk about it, man.
Yes.
This is going to be kind of just a general conversation because I watched it straight through day one. I woke up early and I watched, I think, 4 episodes before work. And then I went to work, got my work out of the way, and then continued to watch it on my iPad at work, and then came home and finished it. And I tried to get through it a second time before tonight, and I couldn't make it through. Not because I don't enjoy it, because I think I might love it, but there's just a lot. So, what are your first impressions?
Oh man! So I guess I should throw this disclaimer out there because I think there's there's always, at least it happened with the first Godzilla anime. And then now with this one, it's like, I think you have like two opposing forces. You have like the Godzilla people and the anime people. And I'm, yeah. I just want everybody to know, like, I'm coming at it from a Godzilla fan standpoint. I'm not, I don't have a lot of history with anime. I'm not going to say I'm not an anime fan because what I've seen, I've liked, you know, it's not like I will not watch something because it's an anime. It's like, it's a little bit like comics to some people, like, where do you start? Right. I mean, they're just such a vast, you know, genre. It's like, I want to learn about comedies. Where the hell do you start? You know, like I'm only viewing this as through the lens of a Godzilla. There's nothing wrong with it being shown as an anime or produced as an anime. I think it was, that is, of all the issues that there may or may not be, that's the least of them, is the aesthetic and the looks of it. But as a Godzilla fan, my initial thoughts are, it's really how you watch it will determine whether you like it. And I think it's, if you watch it as, I want to understand everything that they say and everything that the plot is about, I think,
get the fuck out of here.
And I think that it's either, you know, you have to be a maestro of transtemporal physics to understand it, or they just make it up. Or if you watch it and just let that kind of stuff like flow over you, because I don't think it affects the plot as much as maybe some people think it does. Yeah. And you watch it as a fun, you know, show, I think it's more enjoyable. And then the other piece I would say is, a lot of people say, well, there's not enough action. There's not it's a mystery. They're unraveling something. So it's like, you don't watch, you know, a mystery show and say, oh my gosh, there wasn't enough car crashes and car chases. So I think I think if you watch it knowing that it's a mystery centric anime with kaiju and a lot of, and I hate to use the term techno babble, but a lot of science that helps them solve the mystery.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what it is. I think it's very, very successful. And I really did enjoy my time watching it.
Same. And I kind of think like the people who would say there's not enough, you know, kaiju action or whatever, I think what they really mean is they wish there was more Godzilla because like you can't, how many episodes is it? It's like 16 episodes or something, 12 episodes, 16.
We should know this.
We should have known this, but it's something. It's in the teens.
Yeah.
We're in the teens. And I mean, there's kaiju right away, you know, and there's plenty of it. There's tons of Rodan. You know, one of the last episodes I was watching.
13 episodes. 13.
13.
My OCD was kicking in.
I mean, one of the last episodes I watched is the Jet Jaguar battling Anguirus, which is a great episode.
Oh my god, great battle.
The fact that it's so crazy to me that I don't know if it was a couple years ago, there was a April Fool's Day, I believe. I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was put out specifically by Toho, but there was a April Fool's teaser of like a Jet Jaguar show. Do you remember? Have you ever seen that?
No, you were the first one that broke the news to me on that.
There's an animated teaser for like Jet Jaguar. That wasn't a real thing. It was put out for April Fool's Day. And I remember being like, hey, I would like to see that.
Yeah.
This is basically the Jet Jaguar show.
Oh, it's Jet Jaguar singular point, not Godzilla. I mean, he's the star for of the show.
He's in every episode. It's very cool to see a character like that. Like I've always loved, and I think a lot of people have always loved Jet Jaguar, but he is one of those characters that it's like, I don't know. It's Godzilla versus Megalon.
Yeah. He's the butt of some jokes. Yeah, I get
he's
it.
Exactly. But like to see him kind of evolve and become this, like by the end of the show, I'm not even sure what is happening with Jet Jaguar at the end of the show when he's got like the consciousness of another AI inside of him, and then he's also got and he just evolves into, it's like watching 2001 A Space Odyssey, where by the end it's the Star Child, but it's Jet Jaguar and he's fighting really insane Godzilla.
That ending actually, and not like I said, since we're not going to go like plot point by plot point, I have to say that the ending of it was Jet Jaguar sending the lullaby back in time to warn them that he is the code to the orthogonal diagonalizer, that whole thing. And then how they, like, he is a descendant of Pelo 2 and the original Jet Jaguar built by Goro Otake, like that whole connectivity to that, that Jet Jaguar saves it and is the code to what will stop the red dust and rendered inert and all that good stuff and kill Godzilla, kill Salunga. I thought was great because Jaguar is the hero.
He's the hero. The fucking show. It's crazy when this first teaser came out. I remember being like, "Oh, Jaguar is in this."
Yeah,
and I remember just being like, "Oh, he's gonna. It's just gonna be a quick thing. He's probably not gonna be." The show hinges on Jet Jaguar. So spoilers. Speaking about that song, that's one of the things that I really like is that song. I love whenever you hear it in the first few episodes, they even say like, oh, the song sounds like it's from the Showa era.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I love that because the old Showa Godzilla movies, there's always like an important song happening.
Yeah.
Somebody's always singing a fucking song. Yeah. King Caesar won't wake up until you sing him a 4-hour song.
Mothra. Yeah, obviously Mothra.
Exactly. And I like that kind of, that's such a weird string to pull over, but I like that. It was very cool.
Because why wouldn't he send a message back as a lullaby?
Yeah. Back the most confusing thing possible. So let's touch on what this fucking whole thing is about. So the song happens. God, what is it? The song goes off, and then after the song sends a signal, which you don't know right away, but then Rodan shows up right away. And Rodan in the show, for people who don't know, there's a lot of them. It's not just, hey, there's Rodan. It's like, there's the Rodan. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. There was two in the original Rodan. So
You're right. Here's something that this show does differently. What do you think about the kaiju being much smaller? A lot of them, you know, there are the bigger ones towards the end of the show, but you know, the Kumonga, which we're going to get to in a second, you know, Anguirus, they're all kind of human size, you know, they're like in our scale a little bit better. What did you think of that change?
You know, I liked it because I mean, the thinking is like these kaiju are coming in from all these different singular points, these breaches in time and space, that it makes sense that not all of them are gigantic, you know, that they're all different, kind of different sizes. And then some grow and evolve in our atmosphere, different rates. I mean, Anguirus grows, there's some Rodan that are smaller and bigger than each other. I liked it. I thought that because even though it's a global conflict, we focus on such like individual people in these small battles. I think it makes it better than if we have 13 episodes of just buildings being destroyed. I think it adds a little more, like you can see a Jet Jaguar get involved more than if he was just, because he's not, you know, it wouldn't be realistic for them to think that Goro Otake, that little crazy old man, built a Jet Jaguar that's the size of a skyscraper.
Right.
So I think it's smart.
Yeah, it also kind of, it's funny when you think about how, you know, there's been 34, 35 film versions of Godzilla at this point. And then you get an anime, 13 episode cartoon straight to Netflix. And somehow it feels as if it's the deepest we've ever gone into, you know, Godzilla. And also it's like, speaking about the monsters and the sizes, why is this the first, maybe it's not 100% the first time, but like, why is this the first time most of the creatures are, it's like, of course, that's the way you can, you know, when you watch an old Godzilla movie, it's almost, sometimes it's like you're watching two films. You're watching Godzilla fight Gigan over here, and then you'll cut to the humans who are this big compared to Godzilla. Yeah. They can't really do any interacting. You know, so when you bring the monsters down to size and you got your main characters outrunning, you know, a horde of Kumonga megalons, it's a way to merge your human characters with your. Why did it take 30 movies in a fucking cartoon for us to get that? I don't know, but it works well.
I mean, the closest you can think of like Meganulons and Rodan in Rodan, like, but there's Destroyer,
they do the same kind of thing.
Of course, your point, like, I mean, hey, Space Amoeba were more kind of in that scale. They were more normal sized monsters. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I think it works. So I want to talk about these. We're going to jump all over the place here. It doesn't matter. I want to talk about these Kumonga for a minute.
Okay, cool.
Because first of all, like, you know, whenever we were catching glimpses of the trailers and we were seeing all that, we were like, whoa, look at this weird redesign of this or this. I don't think any of these designs I dislike. I think I'm good with all of the, with all of the redesigns. The one thing that's a little weird to me is the name changing.
Yeah.
It makes sense in the case of Godzilla kind of looking like Titanosaurus, but it's actually, you know, like we thought that was Titanosaurus until it aired.
And Gabara and Salunga. Yeah,
exactly. Gabara. And then even like, you know, Varan and, you know, there's a few. So then, you know, you get to the Kumonga and there's a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. It's clearly Megalon. It's more Megalon than it is Kumonga to me. Like,
for sure.
If I saw that, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's a mix of Kumonga. I'd be like, oh, that's a cool Megalon redesign. He's got the head. He's got the little mandibles. He's got the same. Most of them have the same hand, like drill hands. He's got the horn that's on his head is like on the butt. It's mega. You're watching. In 2021, we get to see a Jet Jaguar Megalon rematch.
Yeah,
but for some reason we're calling them Kumonga, and are they even? Is it even said on? They don't even say the name Kumonga.
No,
it's like an official. It was given that, you know, they posted. Oh, these are Kumonga, and I'm like, why? If you don't even say what their names are in the movie. Yeah. Or in the show, what's the point of giving them a name that's different from what it looked like? I don't hate it. It doesn't take me out of it, but it's like, it's confusing to me.
Well, and I could be wrong. I think Kumonga is just the Japanese word for spider. So I don't know like if it's capital K or lowercase K Kumonga, but I read after I watched the show, cause I had the same questions you did. Yeah. There's actually in that scene, there's actually three variations.
Right. So I knew that.
Yeah. There's the flying one, which is like more Kamakaris influenced or Gymantis influenced. There's the Megalon influenced one. And then the Ultima stage, I forgot what it's called, like Zenmunga or something. That's the one where after it dies or it's in trouble, the hetero like blue blob comes out of it, the insides of it. So like there's like stages even within this creature, whether it's like supposed to mean evolutionary stages or just different
subspecies,
I don't know.
There's one that's got like Gigan arms.
He was mentioned as well as like they took different pieces of some of our favorite kaiju. But I agree, the ones that you see most on screen, they are 51% Megalon, 49% Kumonga, if even that. So I agree with you 100%.
But I like that whole episode.
That was a good scene
battles,
too.
All those little battles, you know, between Jet Jaguar and whoever he's fighting. They all were. I love watching his like he's such a badass dude. I can't not talk about Jet Jaguar. But let's see, who else have we got? We got
we got Manda. And guess what? Manda's as useless in this as he is in every other film.
They did that on purpose.
I think it was an inside joke. Like
they made him look like he looks way cooler.
There's
multiples, but like. It is a cool visual of like the Manda swimming with the Godzilla Aquatolus like following them. That's a cool visual, but
they don't really do anything. They get eaten by Godzilla, like they reference it and stuff. But there's useless as Manda is in everything.
But
the design was cool. And then I love they did a lot of little Easter eggs, a little whether it's like murals on the wall or people were holding certain things, like everything from Mogara to Hedera and stuff had little from Beast from 20,000 Fathoms even had
was in there.
So they had some cool stuff that I like that. But I think the Rodan was controversial, I think, to a lot of people because it was just a big, you know, Tyranodon or Quetzalcoatlus or, you know, big pterosaur. I thought it worked, though.
I thought really it was cool. Like, yeah. I mean, they, you know, there's you know, there's multiples, and there is the one that has like the kind of horns like Rodan sometimes has, and it's red. Like, what else do you want?
Yeah.
He's a red pterosaur. What else are you supposed to do with it?
Yeah, I thought that was good. I liked that them being like a flock of, you had the flock of Rodan. I thought it was a cool visual. Yeah. And like everyone just kind of terrorizing people.
It reminded me of the Gaios.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's a lot like the Gaios hordes.
Yeah, good call.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Who else we got? We got Rodan, Anguirus, Manda, Komonga.
Oh, Anguirus. We haven't talked about Anguirus.
Yeah, we'll talk. I'll let you take that one because that's your guy.
That's my guy. It's a unique design. It's not like, I also always love like the Showa era design. It's way better than the Final Wars design. But yeah. I did like it. I thought it was a cool new take. I liked how they used him as a plot point to them kind of understand the transtemporal nature of these
right.
creatures and whatnot. And so I thought it was great. And I thought the battle with him and Jaguar was one of the highlights of the show. I really thought that was really strong. And I thought they made Anguirus look like a credible beast, even though, you know, he's not huge. But Jaguar, I think that was really the moment where you're like, okay, he can fight some real legit monsters. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a great scene. Of course, he gets the spear of Anguirus from there, so I thought that was really neat. That was a great like a great attachment, a little accessory. I thought he served his purpose. He was a good entry level monster, other than Rodan, and and I love that he like ate a Rodan. Like that, they found like a rotting Rodan carcass. So, you don't think of him as a carnivore, but whatever.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool.
I liked him, and I kind of felt bad for him because he seems like he doesn't look, you know, mean or scared. He looks like you want to be friends.
He's just
with
a wild animal.
And I like that they just kind of find him in the forest doing his own thing. I think the visual of his spines doing the like shake when I think that looks really cool.
Great,
but when he like. You think he's dead and there's like an aerial shot and the blood is just kind of pouring. I was like, oh
yeah,
I don't like this. I was like, I was happy that he kind of comes back to life, but you know,
yeah,
he gets killed again. And I agree with you that's a cool way to bring him in and to get the kind of ball rolling of there's monsters here, you know?
Hey, Jet just wanted to finish what Mechagodzilla couldn't do. but I will say you touched on something. And I think of all the monsters, you truly, Anguirus, like, you don't root against him. Like, he never comes across as, he just is like,
he's like benevolent looking. Yeah.
Yeah. And he fights because, I mean, like, he has people shooting at him and stuff, right? And then Jaguar has to kill him because he's a wild animal, right? And so, like, I think you do have that sympathetic thing for Anguirus, which I think fits the character. I mean, I think we all feel sympathy for Anguirus because he never wins anything ever. But I thought that was a cool touch that really added something to that character where he's not just, oh, here's a big monster, Anguirus. So I liked that. It was a subtle touch, but I think it added a lot. And you just don't see that a lot in kaiju films of where, you know, most of the big bad guys that are getting killed by the heroes are big bad guys. And he's always like, I mean, he's just an animal, man. He wasn't anybody.
Yeah. He's just doing his thing. One of my favorite things about this show is that there's no King Ghidorah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite
thing.
And
no Mothra, maybe?
I liked the little Mothra thing because it was such a small touch. Yeah. And I did enjoy seeing Mothra.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it was just a kind of a throwaway. Okay. Like it was, get it the fuck out of here.
Yeah, dude.
I like that. I would say that I like that there was no Mechagodzilla, but there's a Mechagodzilla.
There's a
which looks cool.
Yeah,
I'm for that. I'm definitely into the show continuing. However, it's going to continue. But I guess we got to talk about Godzilla.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I think of all the things that I'll say that I don't think I fully formed my thoughts, and I'll say kind of what I'm thinking, but like I'm open to be persuaded otherwise. It's not a strong opinion. I love Godzilla Ultima, and I didn't mind really any of the different evolutionary stages. I didn't mind Aqualitus, Aquatilus, whatever it is, the Titanosaurus one, the Varan one with the Amphibia, or the Terrestris, which a lot of people are referencing. It's kind of like a Gorosaurus. I didn't see that, but I didn't mind any of them. My big issue, or not issue, or thing I'm kind of noodling around is, did they need the evolution storyline? Like, would it have made it? Did it make Godzilla any more terrifying or imposing? That if he would have just been this, you know, the big singular point, not that he came here and could evolve this quickly into the catastrophe. I can't even speak the catastrophic event. Like, I don't know if the evolutionary stage was necessary, because you only see these different stages for brief glimpses. Right. So like, to me, like, if you'd have just seen Godzilla Ultima right out of the gate and he would have been, this is the guy that's going to do it. Like, I just don't know if that was necessary, and it added, if the juice was worth the squeeze, if you will.
Yeah. But I see what you're saying. And maybe it's not necessary. I think maybe you could tell the same story and it'd be just as impactful. But to me, we've talked about it. Shin Godzilla is one of my favorite movies. And I love the idea of Godzilla evolving like that. And I wonder, you know, the first time you see him, I wonder if they just did that to kind of show you. So all the other kaiju are getting picked off by a robot that a guy built in his fucking garage, right? So, like, you know, Anguirus is taken care of. Everybody else is just kind of like, you know, whatever, and they're all small. But then when you get the Mandas and you get that first, man, I watched the episode the other day where the first time you see the underwater version of Godzilla and that music hits.
Yeah.
They play the music every time Godzilla shows up.
Yep.
And I was like, fuck, I love this. When he slow motion comes out of the water and breaches over and there's like the close up of his eye. There's just something about, like, he's so ominous looking and he looks like he's thinking about something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he looks like he's purposefully jumping over that ship to like try to figure it out and be like, what are they doing? And then you watch him basically hunt down the Manda, destroy, just kill all the man. There's a really quick shot that I love of they come out of the Godzilla and the Manda come out of the water. You see their tails do that thing really quick. And then Godzilla just grabs the Manda, and there's a shot of like a skyscraper and it just gets like covered in blood. There's like, I think there's somebody standing at the window looking, and it's just blood all of a sudden. But I think there's something about all these other monsters are kind of small. We can kind of deal with them. What is this thing that's eating these other monsters? And it was this, and now it's this, and now it's something bigger. There's something, I think, scarier about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Shin Godzilla did it so well, you know, and I don't know if this I don't know if this was an homage. I just feel like each of the stages of Shin Godzilla, I felt like you got to know their strengths and their weaknesses and whatever. And I think there was more to it. And it might have
been. It's a concept that kind of gets a little bit taken away from it when there's other monsters.
Yeah.
Like if it was singular point and it was just Godzilla and he was going from this to this to this, it would work better. It might feel a little too much like Shin at that point, but. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but the designs are great. I do. And I know we talked about this. The Terrestris design, that one is the last one before
Ultima. That
is a cool design.
It's in my top Godzilla designs. We need to go back to our earlier episode where we're talking about the designs. I love that thing. So, and it's weird because I also really love the second Shin, you know, form. Yeah. It's like, I like these weird in-between Godzilla forms where they're not quite there yet. There's something about the posture and the way his head is in that terrestrial form. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's maybe my favorite design in the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my favorite might be Ultima. I think I love Ultima. I thought it was a good
take. Great.
I thought it was a good take on Godzilla. And I thought his movements and everything had a lot of character to them. I don't know. I just thought it was menacing and terrifying. Like, you felt like this was the bringer of death and this ultimate catastrophic event that was going to bring the end of the world. Like, you felt that in the design, and that was kind of cool. Yeah.
I think if I'm going to nitpick anything, I think it would have been cool to see him destroy just a little more before we take care of him. You know, like he does, you know, he does show off and use his atomic breath and all that. And we do get to see that, but it's like, they talk it up so much of him being something that's literally going to destroy the Earth. I feel like maybe we could have just saw like a tiny bit more of that before Jet Jaguar took care of him.
The other thing, and this was probably, you know, me being ignorant while I'm watching it and not understanding everything, but like, I'm also thinking like, okay, some Islanders killed the original Godzilla. There's some bones in there. And I know they're not necessarily the same thing. Like, this is one that's evolved and done stuff differently and stuff. But like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I think I could have used Ultima destroying more stuff to point to really hammer that home that this guy could do it. Because I kept my head was going back to the first Earthborn Godzilla or whatever that was, the bones that were in Misakyoku Observatory or whatever it's called.
You know, whenever they started talking about, you know, time travel and seeing the future, I was like, are these bones the bones of the Godzilla? Like, is there going to be some kind of weird? And you know what? If there was, I couldn't tell because it gets the story kind of gets so, I guess we should talk about this for a minute. Like, the story is very dense and
very dense,
especially towards the, I mean, there are scenes where you just have like an AI just doing math for like minutes at a time. And there's just a lot happening. And there were moments where I was like, let me rewind this because I don't know what I'm watching.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first off, I'll say the same criticisms were thrown at the original, the first anime, right? The Netflix, the three films or whatever. But I would say that their techno babble was done with characters I could care less about and just, I don't think was very successful. Whereas there was, yes, the techno babble, but I could watch this without caring about it because I think there were some other things they did really well visually and with some of the characters that I think overcome some of that. But yeah, it's very dense. Like, it took me a while to understand that the archetype is existing. It's this cube, this transtemporal cube that exists in, you know, multiple dimensions and space and time at the same time. So where we're seeing it, it's also in all these other things, and it's made from the red dust, and the red dust was discovered by what's the dude's name, Ashihara, and the jellyfish. And they're trying to understand the archetype is the 13th stage of the red dust, and we've only uncovered the first two. And Mei is trying to figure out how to do the rest. And so there's just a lot of an orthogonal diagonalizer is a real thing. Like, it's a way to like shift matrices and stuff and move things like, and like all that stuff. Like, it's just very, like, I don't understand a lot of that. I do think, and what saves it, whereas the long-winded exposition that you get in the first anime compared to this, like it's nice to know like that they're solving something, they're trying something, but like, it's not imperative, and they have, I'll give you other things, other objects to dangle in front of you to enjoy. Yeah. Whereas the other one, I don't think did. and so, yeah, I think the story's dense, but the other cool thing is like the Otaki factory, Goro, crazy character, you know, Yoon, like he was like kind of your main guy, and Habaru, kind of the meatheady guy. Like, they're all great and likable. And I mean, Goro's awesome. Like, I mean, that's character's amazing. I think Mei is a likable, relatable character. I think she's great. And you have them kind of going on their two missions. Like, she's jet setting with these Chinese physicists, and they're, you know, doing their own thing, figuring out the Rodan stuff. And I thought that was all, the stories were both compelling enough, though dry, though a little bit, you know, talky and less showy.
Yeah.
They still, it was enough to keep me through and with the kaiju fights kind of on the periphery until you get to the main conclusion. So I thought it was good. I think my biggest negative is there might've been too many ancillary characters. Some that like, you just really couldn't, the Shiva people were great. BB and Mike Stevens or whatever his name is. I almost said Jake Stevens. That's a YHS guy. Thorlom Tezuckus. And some of the other guys, and like the guy Sato that's working with,
there's so many and you have all their, I can't even remember all these people. And you're like, I can't remember them all. Here's all their names. You're like, and I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, it really feels like this show was made by somebody or a group of people who really do love Godzilla, because there are like, even like, you know, we'll talk about how much psychobabble there is. That's a Godzilla trope, you know?
Yeah,
Some random, like, site. They just
space titanium.
Yeah, they just turned it up, you know, to the highest power.
So I have a question, though, because, I mean, maybe we need to get, like, an anime specialist on, but, like, is that something that's really common in anime where, like, they get really dense into these kind of, like, theoretical science discussions? Because we've had two Godzilla animes, man. And we're seeing a lot of it in both these, but
I don't know. I haven't seen a whole lot of that. That's a John Yerkeba question. I haven't seen a ton of anime. The stuff that I have seen is stuff that I've seen a little bit of Evangelion, because people are like, hey, you'll like this because it's robots fighting monsters. And, and I've seen a little bit of Attack on Titan, you know, some of that stuff, but I mean, Attack on Titan's confusing too, and so is Ava. Like they are like sort of confusing. So maybe we're just dumb, or maybe Japan is really smart. I don't know, man. Like, yeah, maybe it is. It's definitely not something that bothered me. I had a really great time watching the show. I am super excited for it to keep going. I like all the weirdness. It is kind of like, you do kind of wonder how they're going to keep going after killing Godzilla, but
well, Ashihara's there, and you know he's a whole different thing, because you know we hear about him the whole show, but he's the guy that
you know, discovered. They hit you with a double whammy, because it's like you're getting an after credit scene, and usually you just think, okay, there's going to be something, but there's two somethings,
because if you think about it, this story takes place in 2030. He was around in World War II, so he's 100-plus years old. So either it's a clone, or he's managed to manipulate red dust and the archetype enough. And that goes to one other thing I want to throw out there. I read this. This is not my theory. I wish it was. I think it's a great theory. You know the kind of weird, hotshot, kind of slick reporter that's always kind of in everybody's way?
Yeah.
Some people were saying
there's something up with him.
There's something that could be Ashihara, who figured out time travel to go back and basically through the breaches in time. And that's a younger version of him. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. But
I think with him that there'll be some more kind of ahas about, and when you throw in time travel, you can always bring Godzilla back. You can always bring Jaguar back.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they'll do. I mean, Mechagodzilla obviously will play a huge role.
Dude, well, the TVA is going to come in and prune the whole timeline. Well, it's going to be a whole Loki thing.
I know. In my notes, I wrote the final one. I go, ask Jake, better time travel, Loki or Singular Points?
Well, Singular Points is probably better because it's more confusing. And I feel like time travel would be very confusing.
It should be confusing. Yeah.
In Marvel, it's, hey, if you time travel, the timeline does this.
Yeah.
In Godzilla, it's like, I don't know. There's red dust spikes going through Salunga, and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Yep. And there's these archetypes. And these archetypes can exist in 13 different dimensions or whatever at the same time. It's nuts.
I love it.
Yeah. And so I think, like, to me, like, everything that we've said about if you can pull away, like, the need to know all of that. And if you do understand all of it, kudos to you, man. But you don't need it.
Yeah. I don't think you need it, but it also, It works really well for, like, rewatchability, because it's really super dense, but it's like, you know, you watch through it. I always feel like when I watch Godzilla for the first time, no matter what it is, any new film that comes out, my first time watching through it always kind of feels like a fog. It always feels kind of hazy to me, because it's sort of like a shocking thing to be like, I'm watching new Godzilla. You know what I mean? It's such a weird thing. And to be like, we're watching straight to Netflix Godzilla show right now. That just sounds insane to say that. So, like, my first watch through, I'm not even trying to I'm just like, cool. I don't know. All right.
He's alive. So, he's dead. He's alive.
Yeah. But then, like, you know, you start thinking about it afterwards, you start looking shit up, and then you go watch it again. And it's like, okay, now I can, like, dig into this a little more. I know what's coming. I'm always so interested in what the monster stuff is going to be and what it's going to look like or where it's going to go, that it's really hard for me to give a fuck about the time travel part. So it's like, rewatching it, I'm like, all right, make sure I'm listening to what they're saying. We're getting into this, you know? So I think that's fine.
Hey, Nate, it's not the first Godzilla movie to have convoluted time travel plots. I mean, we're looking at you, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. We're looking at you, 1991. Yeah, but I just, but
the difference between the time travel and this and Godzilla versus King Ghidorah 1991 is that when you watch 1991, you kind of get you get a feeling that whoever wrote that, they just didn't care, or didn't care to like
good enough
that they're exactly. But when you watch this, you're like, somebody cared too much. Somebody really cared about.
They brought this. In experts. Yeah, no, I think that is perfect. That is the best way to explain it. Oh my gosh, yes. If you take anything away from YHS and Monster Island, take away that comparison of time travel and these two properties.
Exactly.
I have one other plot thing before we get off the plot stuff. Cause okay. I did have to say the one other, I'm not going to say negative, but the thing that I was like, could this have been better? And you know, who am I to say that? But in my head, that's what was going on. Is so you have, like I said, we had these two storylines. You have May and you have kind of Yoon over here, and they only ever interact via their, you know, the phone, via the AI, via all that good stuff, the text messaging until the very, very, very last scene. Could it have been more compelling had they met earlier? There was more kind of tension between those two whether it was a romantic friendship or regular friendship, whatever. I just felt like they're our main two characters. They're the ones I do think we care the most about. Like, I think they get that they're relatable and I think they are cool characters. But like at the end, like were we missing, or could it have been enhanced by a little bit more kind of tension? Will they, won't they, Sam and Diane, if you will, with these two characters?
Maybe it was, there's already too much going on. And maybe it was the kind of thing where they're like, hey, we can't add another aspect to this. It made me, exactly. There's a season two. It made me kind of think of Ready Player One a little bit. And have you read that book?
Or I have read that book. Yeah.
One of the things that kind of annoyed me in the movie is that in the book, Artemis and your main character, they don't meet in person until
the end.
Basically the last scene of the book. And in the movie, they said fuck it, and halfway through they're hanging out. So, yeah. And I remember being like, oh, well, that kind of takes something away. So that it reminded me of that.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I'm not saying it as a negative. I'm saying it as it was an interesting point, because I do think some, you know, depending on what you like as a viewer, there wasn't that. These two lead actresses, like there wasn't that connectivity other than just through electronic communication,
right. Which
was it. And that in itself, I think, was interesting. And they did a good job with that. And Pero 2 and all that good stuff. I thought it was all very interesting. And but it just was different. And I don't know, maybe could have been more. Maybe.
Yeah. It kind of puts a wall in between.
Yeah.
You know, it does kind of separate it. Before we get off that, we got to talk about Mechagodzilla a little bit. I know there's not much to talk about, but the design here is basically your original design with a couple accents. You know, he's got the real Godzilla skeleton kind of. They kind of took that idea from the later Mechagodzilla films and just mixed it up. And I think it looks really cool. I think he looks great.
When I saw that scene, I was like, first off, yes. I mean, but we talked about it. The design front, the look and feel, the aesthetic front, I mean, it's an A+. I think Singular Point did everything great. So I wasn't shocked that it looks great. I'm looking at that, I'm like, I want to see Mecha, like the main storyline be Mechagodzilla against Jet Jaguar. Like, I mean, I didn't even think about Godzilla. Does Godzilla turn into an evil, you know, whatever, but more of the force of nature? He'll defeat the greater evil. Do you do that pivot, or is this just the time to do Jet Jaguar versus Mechagodzilla? I mean, I mean, they just missed each other by 1 year in the 70s. Like, I mean, they're so close. I want to see it, but the design is great. The Ashihara storyline behind it. What's his motivation? How the hell is he still alive? All that stuff. Sign me up. Like, I'm really, really, like, my interest is peaked. I think that I think it was great. And Mechagodzilla, I believe, is the right call too. And the visual is great.
Yeah, I agree. Is there anything else within the show that you want to touch on? We kind of are all over the place with it, but as I'm thinking, you know, any other character stuff or plot stuff?
Not, I mean, I think they did it well. I thought it was a good blend of, if you're a younger viewer, you can watch it. There's some like blood and some stuff, but it's nothing too crazy. I mean, I know the Professor Lee gets killed and some stuff, but I thought they did a good job of where like it was, it fit both like younger viewers and older viewers. I thought they did, the visuals were great. No, I don't think so. I mean, all we talked about most of the characters, and the ones that we didn't, maybe with the exception of BB, I think was probably the one of the other bigger characters that I thought he was great. For the most part, I think they were kind of inconsequential. Like, they don't think they're worth spending time on a podcast talking about, but
I agree.
It's a great show. I'm glad it exists. That's all I have to say. Like, whether you like it or not, it was a different take on Godzilla. And I think it was a successful different take. It doesn't have its flaws, of course. But if you have 13 episodes of anything, there's going to be some flaws.
Right.
But it was, I thought it's a good entry and a unique entry and a valued and worthy entry into Godzilla. And I think by a wide margin, it's way better than the first anime attempt that they had on all aspects, visually, narrative, everything.
Yeah. I still get a little, we don't have to turn this into another discussion, but I sometimes get confused about the amount of hate that first anime trilogy gets.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, I've watched it all. I've watched it twice and I enjoyed it both times. And I wouldn't say that I loved it. Mm. I think I will say that I love the design of the Godzilla. I love his
Godzilla creature design. Earth is great.
I think the first film is the best of the three.
Yes.
There are things, I guess a lot of the human stuff is kind of a little draggy, but I'm just going to start ranting in a completely different way.
No. I think it's fair. And I think to me, it's, that could have been one. I think they could have condensed a lot of that down into one or two films and it would have been a lot tighter and better. And I think they had to fill space. It seemed like that's what
the second movie feels like a space filler. Like I get not wanting to put, you know, Mechagodzilla City, Godzilla, and King Ghidorah in one film. Yeah. But Mechagodzilla City is a cool different way to do that. But that one seemed to me like the biggest miss out of the three.
I agree. 100%.
But one thing I will say for Toho, and I've said this probably on other episodes before, is that I'm really, really happy with this new thing they're doing where Godzilla is just fucking batshit weird now. Every new version of Godzilla that comes out is just something super weird and different. Yeah. And we're not just getting 10 movies in a row that are the same suit, same design, same everything. It's just fucking like, what else can you do? You want to do it? Fuck it. It's gotten to a point where Toho's like, we don't fucking care. We're just like, they're over there just sleeping on beds of money. So they're just like, do whatever you want. So before we wrap this up, then
I love it.
I want to say like, who are you hoping for in season two? Are there any kaiju that you would hope they would pull in?
Oh man, that's a great question. I would love to see a riff on Baragon. I think he's a guy that I think would be cool.
That seems like a no brainer. You know, that seems like it would fit right in. So many of the creatures in this that are Showa era monsters. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that would be perfect.
I think Baragon, and you know who actually I think I would love to see, and I think they could do something really weird. I'd love to see them bring in not a Godzilla monster, but from Toho. I'd love them to bring in our good friend Gezara from Space Amoeba. Give me a giant cuttlefish squid monster, but done in anime style. And then, of course, I would love to see a Space Godzilla because I think they could go really wacky with that. But of course, you know, it fits because we are talking about space and time manipulation and everything. Yeah. So like you could really, there's no limit. And then of course, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I mean, I think they hint at the flower and Biollante.
They
and
hit Biollante, so
I think it's a kind of a no brainer that will be in season two. In my eyes, I think it almost has to.
It will be interesting if they kind of move. I'm interested and excited to see like what they continue to do with the redesigns. Mm-hmm. And it will be an interesting thing if in the second series they kind of do what the movies did, and they, what if they kind of move away from the Showa era creatures and we start to get more, you know, the Heisei era type, you know, maybe we will get a Space Godzilla. Yeah, Batra or Space Godzilla kind of seems to me like an end credits, after credit scene, like coming, you know, but that
him and Destroya.
Him, Space Godzilla and Biollante, I would love to see both of them return. Those would be in my top, but
if we do that, then season 3 would be Millennium series. I'm not watching that because I don't want to see.
But they'll probably make them good. I don't know.
Combine them.
I wonder if they'll start making more original monsters if the show keeps going, or if we'll just keep kind of getting redesigns. I'm good with either.
Yeah, I like the designs. I mean, they, you know, I would say that Salunga is like a redesigned Gabara, and I like how they made it. Obviously the Komungo is like just slamming, you know, crashing a 15 different kaiju in together. I like that. I think it was fine. I wasn't that bad mad about all the name stuff. Like, it didn't bother.
No, me either. I just wonder why it I'm not mad at it. I'm just confused at the reasoning. But they could definitely use more of the, I mean, we can see the Komungo return and maybe get more of a little more insight and whatever the fuck is happening. A Hedora parasite thing, you know, like that, we could see more of that. Gigan. I'd like to see an actual Gigan instead of, you know, we could still get a Gigan redesign would be cool.
For sure.
Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. Singular point. I think we did it.
I think we made it through, but I mean, not that it was hard, because it was a good stuff. And like I said,
it's a great show.
I'm glad it exists. And I do recommend people, when they watch it, to go in there knowing like, hey, don't get hung up on all of the techno babble. Like, you don't need it to enjoy this story, and worry about it on the second watch, the second viewing. Yeah. And then if I just enjoy, it's a beautiful piece and like I said, also know that it's not nonstop action. There's a mystery they're trying to unravel. So there is a lot of exposition because they are trying to figure this out. Don't go in there thinking it's going to be a kind of a, you know, just a battle royale of monster action.
Yeah.
But what there is really good.
I think it's well balanced, but I think the main thing you got to tell people is like, hey, you know how Godzilla is barely in the original film? Well, he's in this one, maybe a little less. He's not in it a lot, but he makes a pretty big impact when he is, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like I said, I'm glad it exists. That's about my final thing. I'm glad it exists. And cool. I will rewatch it.
Same. We will leave it at that. If you haven't seen the show, then what the fuck are you doing? Like, first of all, if you haven't seen the show and you just listen to this,
you're kind of awesome.
Thanks. But also, you just ruined the entire show for yourself. Check it out. Give it a rewatch. I think it's probably, it's definitely got a big rewatchability, and I think it's probably going to be one that I rewatch multiple times until I can figure. With that being said, man, I think this episode's done. I think we did it. Did you have something else?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I think we should give people a little bit of a pass if they haven't watched it, because maybe they are too busy catching up on past episodes of YHS Prime with Jacob Walsh, Craig Goldberg, Abigail Gardner. That is the unofficial mayor of Hapeville, Georgia, Craig Goldberg, and the Shoguness of the show.
Yep.
Abigail Gardner. Or they're catching up on all those great episodes of Toy Anxiety with you guys. And of course, add in the Kingpin of Canadian Collectors, Ryan Dole, which is it's a hit sensation. Everybody loves it. Or they're catching up on The Bad Batch and the nice companion show led by Abigail Gardner, Kat Hansen, and that Canadian or Kingpin of Canadian Collectors, Ryan Dole, The Bad Bitches, which is also a mega hit. And everybody loves that. Or, you know, they're watching the Ghostbusters or listening to the Ghostbusters Containment Unit. Group therapy. They're talking to all the wonderful people that are part of the YHS community, and who knows what the next show is. And then, of course, we love them because they listen to a little bit of YHS on Monster Island and get their kaiju on the side.
We do. Jay, thank you so much for doing that. I always like thank God Craig never listens. He's like, hey, how come you're not promoting the other shows? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm always doing all those other shows. I don't want to talk about them when I'm doing Monster Island. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, I appreciate
Craig sends me notes. He's like, hey, Jay, I know you're recording. Make sure to mention this.
Make sure to mention this. Yeah. If you're listening to those, thank you. If you're not, please check them out. Yeah. I appreciate it. I appreciate all the listeners. And guys, we don't know what the next episode of this is going to be about, but we're going to figure it out. And it might be Singular Point again.
It could be.
We'll see.
It wouldn't be so singular, but it will. Singular points. That's how we roll here. It doesn't matter. We'll figure out. Yeah. We can just sit there and talk kaiju and have no topics whatsoever. That's what we can do.
Well, that's probably what we're going to. I mean, that's what we do an hour before we start recording. So that's probably what we're going to do.
Truth.
All right, guys. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.